By the way, if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery and murder. It is not a war of each against all. Anarchists stand for anarchy, anti-capitalism, anti-racism, anti-authoritarianism, internationalism, autonomy, direct democracy, ecology, self-organization, solidarity, anti-fascism, anti-neoliberalism, anti-nationalism, atheism, equality, and freedom.
Tune in to Subversion 1312, the 4ZZZ Anarchy Show.
Tuesday from 9 till 10 p.m. on 102.1 FM or streaming 4ZZZFM.org.au.
How about trying this future on for size?
By the way, if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself. Thank you. Just a little thought. I'm just trying to plant seeds. Maybe one day they'll take root. I don't know. You try. You do what you can. Kill yourself. Seriously, though, if you are, do. No, really. There's no rationalization for what you do, and you are Satan's little helpers, okay? Kill yourself. Seriously. You're the ruiner of all things good. Seriously. No, this is not a joke. It's going to be a joke coming. There's no fucking joke coming. You are Satan's spawn, filling the world with bile and garbage. You are fucked and you are fucking us. Kill yourself. It's the only way to save your fucking soul. Kill yourself. Plant seeds. I know all the marketing people are going, he's doing a joke. There's no joke here whatsoever. Suck a tailpipe, fucking hang yourself, borrow a gun from a Yank friend. I don't care how you do it. Rid the world of your evil fucking machinations. Whatever, you know what I mean. I know what all the marketing people are thinking right now, too. Oh, you know what Bill's doing? He's going for that anti-marketing dollar. That's a good market. He's very smart. Oh, man, I am not doing that, you fucking evil scumbags. Oh, you know what Bill's doing now? He's going for the righteous indignation dollar. That's a big dollar. A lot of people are feeling that indignation. We've done research. Huge market. He's doing a good thing. God damn it, I'm not doing that, you scumbags. Quit putting a goddamn dollar sign on every fucking thing on this planet. Ooh, the anger dollar. Huge. Huge in times of recession. Giant market. Bill's very bright to do that. God, I'm just caught in a fucking web. Ooh, the trapped dollar. Big dollar. Huge dollar. Good market. Look at our research. We see that many people feel trapped. If we play to them and separate them into the trapped dollar, how do you live like that? I bet you sleep like fucking babies at night, don't you? What'd you do tonight, honey? Oh, we made arsenic childhood food now. Good night. Yeah, we just said, you know, is your baby really too loud? You know. Yeah, it'll, you know, the mums will love it, yeah. Sleep like fucking children, don't you? This is your world, isn't it?
It is 5 minutes after 12 o'clock. Nine o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And you're listening to 4ZZZ's Anarchist Radio Program, Subversion 1312, with Linda, Mark, and Nathan.
Hi.
Who can probably speak for themselves, but I'm speaking for them.
Yeah, and you know what? Linda, can we talk about China for a second?
Yeah, China.
Have you been to any funerals lately?
I have, actually.
Yeah, well, were there any strippers there?
No, not in the common sense.
Yeah, well, that's probably because it wasn't China.
Yes.
So they're banning strippers from performing at people's funerals because it's become like a big thing over there.
So I read the article, and the reason why they have strippers at funerals is so people attend.
Yeah, so that they get more numbers.
Yeah. So, and there's a funny quote which I sent you, which I can't find right now, but it's something about how the strippers make them
climax,
make the audience climax now
and applaud and cheer and
climax.
What's that was a good word to use, wasn't it?
There's lots of very appropriate words used in this article. I guess they're hamming it up.
But you know what?
Yeah.
No more strippers for China.
No more strippers for China.
No. What was the other joke I made about it?
No more strippers' boobs. No more strippers for China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more, yeah.
Yeah. So, but, I don't know, you always, there's something to be made about sex and funerals, which is not narcolepsy.
No. It's necrophilia.
I always make that joke.
Because it's like...
But it is something to do with the cycle of life. Sex...
Yeah, it's all life, exactly. Yeah,
so there we go. That's...
And I think that, like, people are upset about it, but it's like, shouldn't it be up to the person who's dead, like the dead person?
Yeah.
Or, like, would they be okay with it if they were alive?
Yeah,
they would, then, like, no one else can say anything about it.
No, well, as you know, I always like to dress up.
Yeah.
In a certain way for a funeral.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
Linda always dresses really, how would you say, flashy for funerals.
Well, the quote unquote is, what are you all slutted up for, Linda?
Yeah. And then Linda said, I'm going to a funeral.
Yeah.
Literally happened. So, Nathan, how are you going?
Going good.
Awesome.
We had to wait. There was tension in the air.
Yes, we really wanted to know how you were going.
Yeah, we were waiting.
Awesome. So we're all here on the show. What's on the agenda tonight?
Well, I've got an interview with Claudio Lucatelli. Hey, that was pretty good Italian.
That was really good.
Claudio Lucatelli is a media activist, and also he joined the YPG, the People's Protection Unit in northern Syria, in an area known as Rojava.
This guy's serious.
And the people there, apart from also fighting against ISIS and defeating ISIS in areas, they're also basically in the middle of a revolution. And in these cantons in northern Syria, they're creating a whole new society. So there's two sides of it. There's the fighting and against ISIS and others, but there's also that this is happening and they're making a new world. He talks about that more, but I've got a quote here from David Graeber. And it says, well, if anyone had any doubt in their minds about whether this was really a revolution or just some kind of window dressing, I'd say the visit, he went to Syria, put that permanently at rest. There are still people talking like this. This is just a PKK, the Kurdish Workers' Party in Turkey, front. They're really a Stalinist authoritarian organization that's just pretending to have adopted radical democracy.
Oh.
That was a long sentence. No. They're totally for real, and this is a genuine revolution.
Yeah. Shit's going down.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear some music.
Cool.
Yeah. And actually, because we're talking about Kurdistan and Kurdish people, we're going to hear some Kurdish music.
Oh, awesome. I love Kurdish music.
Well, I do too. And this is Aziz Waisi, and there's actually an event coming up.
There isn't.
This week. There is. With Kurdish music. So I'll talk about that as well later. Also, we've got Bad Cop, No Donut, and an interview with Donald Trump.
Yes.
Which is no big deal. Like, it's just the interview with Donald Trump.
But he's got some really good responses to our questions.
Hard-hitting questions.
Yes.
And they're funny.
Yeah.
Hello.
مشوك وهودي جو فلك الشمس وقمر مهمون ما مشوك وهودي جو فلك الشمس وقمر مهمون ما مردو مسود كم بكن شوتا وسهر مهمون ما شوتا وسهر مهمون ما مسي شراب داس سنم ويلا ولا ودي كرم مسي شراب داس سنم ويلا ولا ودي كرم تمس نكرم ويران يجم في الملاه وأرمني في الملاه وأرمني زاني وكو رهات ما وسرت فم سيفات ما زاني وكو رهات ما وسرت فم سيفات ما تازا اشي ششتينيه او زاخرا وارمني او زاخرا وارمني اصو كتاو قردم نكا حالم خرا و دم نکه اصول کتاو گردم نکه حالم خرا و دم نکه خرا و گیس دال گید جم که کتاو و ارمنی جم که کتاو و ارمنی
Aziz Weisi.
That was great. I love that.
Who's a very popular Kurdish musician from Iran. So we're talking about Kurdish people in Syria. There's Kurdish people, well, all over the world, like 66 yeah. million.
Uh-huh. We know some.
Yeah, we do. Hmm. Yes. And there's also Kurdish, but mainly Kurdistan originally was in Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran.
Okay.
Yeah. So that Kurdish music is from Iran.
Yeah, I couldn't understand a word he was saying.
Yeah, well. Basically, songs from Iran are either about love or that one is in particular about Kurdish history and the love of Kurdistan.
Okay, so that's about love as well then,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about love.
So it's all about... They're very romantic people.
Apparently, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And we've got this interview now with Claudio Lucatelli, and I'm talking to him about his time in Syria, in Rojava, and related topics. And first of all, I basically asked him why he went there, who he is and why he went there.
Yeah, this is very interesting.
I'm Claudio Locatelli, I come from Italy. And I was a YPG fighter, so I was fighting in the People Protection Unit in the north of Syria in the Battle of Tabqa and Raqqa. And I'm usually a media activist and journalist in the Middle East and Europe. And I've always been active in the society.
How long have you been back in Italy?
I came back in October. I have been in Rojava for 7 months and a half, more or less. And exactly the end of February of the last year, actually was exactly 1 year ago, because today is the 27th. So it was exactly 27th of February. I take off with a plane to Iraq. And from Iraq, I pass to Syria, across the border to Syria.
Why did you join the Kurdish forces in Syria?
Well, first of all, because there was a big enemy, and the enemy was not only ISIS. The enemy was whatever is considered oppressive and a patriarch society. And ISIS is a theocracy, patriarchal society and oppressive. And that was intolerable for me, was unacceptable. So that was the main reason. The second reason was what the Kurdish society and the TEPDEM, so the Democratic Confederalism, together with the rest of the people of the area, so Christian, Yazidi, Turkoman, and many others people of the area, they are building up something different from ISIS, something where the women are included, have the same dignity of the men, something that take care of the ecology, something that really care about democratic, social, inclusive value. And that's what the second main reason. Then happened something. As a media activist and journalist, I was already in the area, especially in the eastern part of Turkey in 2014 and 2015. And I was an international observer during the Nevroz, the Kurdish festivity, because there was a risk of attack or military presence of Turkey. And in that period, at the end of August of 2014, and then in 2015, there was a big issue, the Yazidi genocide. I remember clearly in my mind the imaging on the television of these people escaping from Iraq, from the Sinjar mountain. Many women were enslaved by ISIS. For me, that was the limit. I couldn't more accept that in this world, in 2018, there was a so strong force like ISIS that was enslaved women and raped them as a law. This, for me, wasn't unacceptable.
Can you please explain how the fight against the patriarchy and these ideas, how they play out in Rojava?
Absolutely. This is one of the main points, absolutely something that also in Europe, or I guess also in Australia, is a issue. Because, for example, in my country, in Italy, the salary, the income of the month, is based on your gender, on your if you are male or female, more exactly. So it's absurd, because in my opinion, if you work well, if you do something, whatever you're doing, the income or whatever other things connected should be not based on if you are a man or woman. And that's in Rojava is something really important. For example, the general commander of the Raqqa operation is a woman. I really don't remember any general commander of Italy, of army of Italy, that is a woman, actually. So this is one of the big revolution in Rojava. The patriarchy system is also an economical issue, because the capitalist the actual modern economical system, it's really using the submission of the women, the oppression of the women as a system. You know, typically you imagine the women in this kind of Western society as a woman that stay in the kitchen, they take care of the baby, that provide the basic assistance for the man to go to work. That's absolutely creepy, in my opinion, because we don't consider it, and in Rojava instead they consider it, the women as a full person. That's a problem. In Rojava, the entire struggle is made of women. When we liberate Raqqa, the entire liberation of the town was dedicated to the women, from us, from the women. Moreover, the YPG, the female protection unit, is a specific unit of our army that's completely composed by women, and the main target is to protect women. So create a safe environment where women have the same rights and the same condition of the men.
The argument in Western countries is often about not using violence and changing people's minds by talking or whatever rather than violence. You've been in an actual war against ISIS and others. What do you say as a response to those arguments now?
That's a very interesting topic. I give you an example. If you are in the winter, you use the jacket, I guess. If you are in summer, you use a t-shirt, I guess. So you are not using a t-shirt in winter and the opposite. That's the point. The necessity of defense, also with violent method like weapons, sometimes can be necessary. I don't think is the way. I don't think is the way in every cases. Is the way in the winter, using the example of before. So we try to send an ambassador, an emissary, I don't know this word in English, people that we send for diplomacy.
Yeah, ambassador, yeah.
Ambassador, thank you. In Tabqa, at the end of the campaign of Tabqa, almost at the end, there was the remaining pocket of Daesh, of ISIS, on a hill in front of us. So we tried to send an ambassador. You know what's happened? ISIS sent him back in pieces, in a box. They kill this guy, probably was 21st years old. He was killed and sent it back in a box. So how you can react in this? Talking, you can try. We tried. But actually, you can really live accepting that an oppression like this can continue every day instead of fighting. I'm not for violence in the majority of the context, in 99% of the context, but I'm ready to fight for defend what is right against the oppression when it's necessary. That's why my idea about the concept.
You've come back to Italy from these issues and this topic of violence when it's appropriate or not. In Italy, there's, for example, fascists who are quite nasty. What's your opinion of how to deal with those people?
If talking about the Nazi, we can say resurrection, because in theory, it's supposed to be a dead party in Italy, fascism. Nazi fascism, according to the law. But unfortunately, for some reason, some ridiculous reason, in the last years, more people and people are joining these extreme right-wing movement that are actually against our law, actually against our constitution, actually is against our value. But the people seems don't take seriously. I want to tell you something. Also, with the real fascism in the 1936, 1937, 8, 9, 40. So during the Second World War, the people really didn't take seriously the Nazi and the fascist movement. You remember also Hitler was elected in election. So according with the question that you asked to me, we have to proportion the reaction. If the Nazi and the fascists become again a violent political movement in Italy, we have to be ready to defend ourselves and defend our value and defend our people. In the meanwhile, we have to keep an eye on the situation and be proportional. Why? Why is this something like this? Because our main target is collect the people. We cannot collect the people if we scare the people. But at the same time, we have to make the people understand that they will be more scary if the fascists take the power again, like they did in the past. Of course, the way and the method will be the same of the fascism of the past, but the logo will be probably different. They change name. In Italy, they call Forza Nuova, or for example, Casa Pound. These two names really represent two fascist parties.
I'm very pleased to have got this interview with Claudio Lucatelli. Yeah, we have a person that helps out with our show. His name is Cuz, and he's from Italy. He helps out with the social media of our show, and I was talking to him, and I wanted to get him to talk about him and what's happening in Italy. And he said, oh, I've got this and this, and I know a whole lot of people that have fought in Rojava. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity, and thank you, Cuz. This is Anti-Flag and Underground Network. You're on 4ZZZ.
Cause the
That was Anti-Flag and Underground Network. It was great to play some punk.
Yeah, well, that's the anarchist music roots, isn't it?
You should let me play more punk.
But I'm not in charge of that.
Well, who is?
Wayne the Wombat.
Yeah, so I'm going to play the second part of the interview now that I did with Claudio Lucatelli. And I'm talking about the legality of fighting. And I just wanted to mention that there have been some people from Australia that have come back alive. Some have unfortunately been killed. It's considered illegal in some countries. And in Australia, I don't think anyone's being charged for fighting for a foreign army, but certainly people have been on Interpol and there's been a threat that they might be charged. So you've had any problems returning to Italy?
I'm aware about the topic. I knew that many Australian people can face trial in court in their country, in your country, and for me, I consider these people, I used to fight with some Australian guys, 2x0. Why? Because they already knows that they're going to face a lot of problem. And so the sacrifice is double. They don't sacrifice only their time and the risk of life like us, but they sacrifice already knowing that they are going to face a trial in court in their country. So the people that decide to fight for something good, for something right, for justice and revolution, knowing that they are going to face trouble in their country, they are 2x0. And in Italy, fortunately, we face just an interview with the police, but nothing really big, actually. Italy is still supporting, at least in a political level, and so consequently in a legal level, the resistance against ISIS. For Italy is more about this point, but actually is useful for us because can put the light that we are on the good side of history.
Do you think it's politically motivated at all, this threat to people that they'll be charged if they go and fight in Syria?
Absolutely. You mean in Australia, in UK, in some country where it's illegal, right?
Yeah.
Or if you have problem.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely, it's a political action. Why? Because when you have citizens able to defend themselves and defend people, they can be considered from the country a threat instead of be a value. Because I want to remind a point, Australia, like UK, has an army. But what is the difference? Australia, like UK, and many other countries can accept to have people able to shoot, people able to use weapons, only when it's in interest of the country. When there are people that are in the interest of the world, like the people that fight in Rojava against ISIS, politically, for someone, it can be considered a threat, because it can be considered uncontrollable, how to say, not able to control. In reality, we should look at these people with respect and honor, because these people decide to risk their life without any specific personal reason, but just for the good of the world. And that's something amazing, because Australia, UK, and the other country are inside this world. So it's a basic concept, in my opinion.
What's your advice to someone who wants to travel to Syria and join the Kurdish forces?
I'm not recruiting people, I have to officially say this. I'm not recruiting people. But as a suggestion, if someone already wants and as I really think deep about this decision, you have to look at the YPG, so the People Protection Union website, and deal with them. My suggestion is really think carefully, because everyone should defend this world, fight what is right, but not everyone should go if they don't feel comfortable with this. We are not talking about a game, it's not a video games, is a reality. So this is my only suggestion.
And a final question. Kurdistan mm-hmm. takes in Iran, Iraq, as well as Turkey and Syria. What do you think the prospects for a united Kurdistan are?
As you probably already know, our target is not a Kurdistan like it was probably in 1980, 1990, but it's a democratic confederalism in the area of Kurdistan. I want to just point out this, not just because it's a small but big difference. What we want is the old town on the area of Kurdistan, the historical area of Kurdistan, can be free to be in a democratic confederalism. And this can be extended from the rest of the Middle East, actually. For example, Raqqa, Tabqa, Manbij are not historically Kurdish town, but there are Christian, Islamic Arabs, many others, that decide to join our forces in this democratic confederalism. Considering the specific geographical area that you mentioned, so Turkey, Iran, at the moment, I see a very dark moment, actually, because Turkey is oppressing inside its country and outside in Afrin, in the area of Afrin, in the canton of Afrin, the Kurdish minority. But I really see another thing. Rojava give hopes for all the people of those area, and this is really clear in front of us, because the people in Turkey, the people in Iran, the people in Iraq are really trying to bring the issue, to bring the struggle at another level. I'm not talking only military level, I'm talking about also political level, and I hope with all my heart that those people, not only the Kurdish but all the people of the area, can be free in those historical areas.
Claudio Lucatelli talking there.
You say that really fancy. Say it again.
Claudio Lucatelli.
Ooh. That was really interesting what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And we have to also thank Max for some of the questions that were asked.
Yeah, Max helped me out with some questions and a bit of background on that. So thanks very much, Max. I'm going to play a song now by Drowning Dog and Melatesta, who are from Italy. And it's called Class War Blues. Okay.
A lot of people wonder, what is the blues? I hear a lot of people saying the blues, the blues.
Got a picture for you, you can connect the dots. It's like the bigger the haves, the bigger the have-nots. Connect four, power on top, one another stacked up. I said the rich know what's up, they know the truth. Know about this class war more than we do. They wanna ran a bitch, yeah, they bored a mate. Can't clean this shit, so they bored a slave. Fed up with yourself, lazy fuck Living like your birthday every day, knees up. Y'all be looking for me, ease up. Sparking when I can, you know that's keys up. Without this, I blow up. Many things, have a king, hit the game, gotta be. Otherwise they roll over, we can't take it. That's why we saying what we got right here. Front line, go and tell your mama shit. Have you seen DDM, EK, that's where I been.
When you ain't got no money, you got the blue, you got the blue. When you ain't got no money to pay your house rent, you still got the blue.
Patronized, and you treated like a fool. Petted on the head, criminalized to make the rule. Yes, boss, daddy, yes, sir. We don't want your charity. We grown, self-determined, we decide on our own. When you know our history, you know we lost. And when you look up on the street, you know the cost. They're watching their back, they scared of the dark. Security camera gated up, they scared of us. Cause they know they put us in a box, put us in a box. Fighting each other, fighting over crumb. But tonight we busting out, found out where the bread begun. Tear the muzzle off the mouth, call it solidarity. Realize it's the setup done, call it commonality. Now we going head up gone. Cause when we stop smiling, they won. And when we stop trying, you know that's game done, game done.
A lot of people talk about I don't lack no blue, but when you ain't got no money and can't pay your house rent and can't buy you no food, you damn still got the blue.
Thank you.
That was a chill, laid back kind of song.
Yeah, Drowning Dog and Malatesta.
Yeah.
From Italia.
Which is where Claudio came from.
Now, we've got this interview with Donald Trump.
Yeah. This is the coup of the century.
As seasoned journalists and radio presenters, you know, it's not such a big deal.
No.
So.
We do this all the time.
Do you want to start, Mark?
Okay, my first question for Donald Trump is, how many times a day would you say you wank?
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
Thank you, Mr. Trump. I had a feeling that would be the answer.
How much money have you lost in your businesses?
Billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions.
Wow, that's a lot, Mr. Trump. Nathan, do you have a question?
Do you have to, can you say billions in a different accent, or you just have to be saying billions just straight up?
Billions and 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 billions.
Wow.
How much money have you been paid by the National Rifle Association to not crack down seriously on gun ownership? And I might add that Donald Trump claims that if he was at in Florida where that high school shooting happened, or anywhere else, he would run in even if he didn't have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
He would run in.
Oh, whatever.
He also says, don't worry about the NRA. They're on our side.
Okay, so what was the question?
How much money have you been paid by the NRA to not crack down seriously on gun ownership?
Billions and billions and
billions and billions
and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
Wow, that's a lot. And Mr. Trump, how many alternative facts have you presented since you first became Prime Minister?
President.
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
Mr. Trump, I hear you have a new single coming out that's going to be released very soon. What's it going to be called?
Billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and
billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and
billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
So, thank you.
How much did you pay Melania? Yeah, to marry you.
Billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and billions.
This is not getting tired at all.
Billions and billions and billions.
Mr. Trump, thanks very much for your time and speaking on 4ZZZ. How many times have you sexually assaulted women?
Billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and
billions and
billions and billions and
billions and
billions and billions and billions. And billions and billions and
billions and
billions and billions and
billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions
and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and
billions
and billions and billions
and billions and every day we kill the cops in our head.
We kill the cop, kill the cop, cop, killer.
Kill the cop every day, kill the cop in your head. Kill the cop in your head, kill the cop in your head. Kill the cop in your, I keep my boots laced.
laced up and my hair braided back. When the jewelry come off, homie, you know it's about to crack. Them scary trigger happy lackeys better get to packing, or prepare to see them goons' bodies start stacking. We get to click clacking on them psychotic, patriotic, power tripping fools. This ain't they fucking land, they can't make up no fucking rules. Look, look, we don't wanna kill just for the thrill. We do it cause the tyranny make our people ill. Pigs get praised and paid to make our people's blood spill. Then turn the pigs like we'll get took without a shred of guilt. That European mindset of right and wrong is out of place on this continent. It simply don't belong. So if you rep and fold those laws, your life is good as gone. That's just what it is, home. At Loken Dallas on the beat. Reach for the heat when you hear the sound of the beat. I kill cops every day, I kill the cops in my head.
We kill a cop, kill a cop, cop, killer.
We kill cops every day, we kill the cops in our head.
We kill a cop, kill a cop, cop, killer.
Kill a cop every day, kill the cop in your head. Kill the cop in your head, kill the cop in your head. Kill the cop in your,
I'm out to kill a pig. They say I'm militant, but they still pillaging villages, stealing and killing kids. That shit is still exists, despite the shit real. And these pigs, they use their badge against the license to kill unarmed civilians, or all my children just to stop the violence. Drop the tyrants and guardians of these occupiers. I fuck with Daniel Tiger, with camel attire, enamel to fire desires to bring down the empire. And I am not the bad one for killing pigs in the mix, not just for kicks, but fuck it, I'm bucking. A mom is just as shit. My uncle did, and my uncle lives up inside of this. My uncle did, but fuck it, it's the shade of your piety. They laws and codes of fallacies imposed by their brutality. It ain't just fucking pigs, also those who pay their salary. So where you aim your pistol when there's an aim against you, it's no major issue if you kill them, then they can't go bitch.
I kill cops every day, I kill the cops in my head.
We kill a cop, kill a cop.
We kill cops every day, we kill the cops in our head.
We kill a cop, kill a cop, cop, killer.
Kill a cop every day, kill the cop in your head. Kill the cop in your head, kill the cop in your head. Kill the cop in your,
We live in a police state. The most powerful nation on earth uses force or the threat of force to maintain control over indigenous peoples, lands, and resources. According to the occupiers, the only acceptable response to this is compliance. That is, we must accept the theft of our lands, the rape of our Mother Earth, and our own subjugation. If we do not, we're criminalized, incarcerated, or killed. For anyone out there who doubts this, just try challenging those premises. Just try establishing your own justice system, your own educational system, your own economic system, and see how the state reacts. Try it peacefully and see what happens. Just try reclaiming indigenous lands. Try it peacefully and see what happens. Just try stopping corporate and government exploitation of our homeland. Try it peacefully and see what happens. Just try fully exerting your inherent right to food in your homeland and see what happens. People with guns will show up to stop you, to jail you, or to kill you. We've been conditioned to believe this is the proper social order. It is not. The order established by the colonizers, imposed on our people and homelands to rationalize the invasion and ongoing occupation. They want to make sure the land stays stolen. They want to make sure they can squeeze every last drop from the fruits of our mother. And they want to make sure that our throats stay under their boots.
You can find them at the business. You can find them at Christmas. You can find them all around. Matter of fact, I'm yelling at one now. A racist dog needs a big cold yell. And the best cold yell is yard. Yard yells.
Hi, please, police!
Bad. Cough.
Nut. Donut.
Bad, 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 bad.
Cough, 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 cough. No. Donut, 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 donut.
It's under the law, and I rule.
Bad
cough.
Nut, donut.
Bad, 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 bad.
Cough, 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 cough. No, 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 no. Donut, 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 donut.
It's under the law, and I rule.
It's Bad Cop, No Donut again this week, and Nathan has a very interesting story this week.
Okay, there was a lady, right? And she had her face on rocks. Her face got pushed by rocks, and her arm got twisted. And it was in America, and
And this was in 2013, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So what happened with her?
She got her face. She was pushed, and her face got her on the rocks, and you know.
Yeah, you can see a pretty bad picture of her with her face bleeding, and they've just been given a payout, haven't they, by the police? Because they found that the police had done wrong. So how much did they get?
They got she got like millions and 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 millions.
Yeah, 1.4 million. Yeah, she was compensated in the court. So, yeah, that was a good verdict for her. So, yeah.
I've got a quick police story.
Yeah.
I was in a outdoor camping kind of shop the other day, and there were police at the counter talking to the staff, and they had socks. And they were wearing uniforms, like police in uniforms. And I was thinking, is this official police duty, looking at socks?
Well,
probably not.
I don't know.
But I'm pretty sure this was Germside.
What were the socks doing?
Who knows? This is Germside Shopping Centre, and like police walk around shopping centres these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're really militant. And they're wearing vests and they look...
And they were looking at socks.
Yeah, they were looking at socks. There we go. Okay, on to the next one.
Okay. Germside, Linda. People from Germside might be listening.
People from Germside call it Germside.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, okay, I have this story about this... So, in the UK... A guy was killed in police custody. He died in police custody. And so the courts found that the police had done nothing wrong. And then a couple of years later, there was an inquest into it. And then the police were found spying on his sister. And they have been in court trying to establish if they have done any wrongdoing.
If they've done any wrongdoing.
Yes.
There we go. And we had a request for the Sex Pistols, but we can't play the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, we're not going to get time, but we're going to play...
Poor People.
Poor People.
Sold ourselves. New local.
Yeah. In this story, when you hear this, turn the page. Let's begin now.
Thanks for listening, and you can find this show podcast at autonomousactionradio.com and the Channel Zero Network, which is channelzeronetwork.com.
Check out Subversion 1312 online, autonomousactionradio.com, facebook.com/subanarchyshow.
Anarchy_show on Twitter. And on the 4ZZZ website, 4ZZZFM.org.au.
That violence can be even applied to the natural environment because we rely upon the natural environment for our survival. But inanimate objects, especially those that are man-made and are used to destroy life, I don't think you can be violent too. I think it's a lot of times more violent to allow them to exist.